New Testament, the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. The title of the message is Mother's Guidance. Obviously, with Mother's Day, and all that Kevin was right, that we owe so much to our mothers and grandmothers, even great grandmothers, that help teach and guide us along the way. Mike, I don't know why you was worried about the bake sale. The whole county has already knew that the ladies of the cowboy churches were baking, so that was going to sell good no matter what. Amen. They have a claim to that. Titus chapter 2. Throughout the Bible in the era of the time that the Bible was written, women did not have the opportunity in the world by the dynamics and the culture of that time that they enjoy the freedom today. But that freedom, as all of our freedom, comes from our Lord. And when you look into the Bible and you see the women that are described in the Bible, how they stood out, and because of their faith, God took note. And through His Spirit, He defined that and wrote about those both in the Old Testament as well as the New. And of course, in doing so, led the way that, ladies, the freedoms which you have today, again, comes from God, and it is through a faith in Him. But our mothers have a significant role. We realize that we are made in the image of God, both male and female. And to each one, He gives special gifts. I'm always amazed at the world's folly of wisdom. Science always comes about and proves the Bible. And our folly of wisdom today, man's wisdom, is that there are all these different genders and everything else, and it is truly amazing when the Lord is very distinct in all of His creation. There's male and there's female. It becomes simple. But I know there's a guy who is one of the people running for election saying that God is binary. No, God is God and He's omnipotent. There's no binary in there, but we are all made in the creatures, are all made in His image, and then He gives each one of us gifts. And He gives mothers a special gift. Whenever you had a boo-boo, who did you go to? You went to mama. Because our gift as dad was, suck it up, boy, and move on. We're teaching them what's ahead in life. Mama took care of the boo-boos. Okay? But it is so important that women teach the young women. And Scripture shows that. Invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands and to the Word of God, not be blasphemed. Notice that last. It says that the Word of God not be blasphemed. And then he goes in with fathers. You may be seated. Ladies, I want a lot of you to think, and you men can as well, but especially the ladies, about what your mother or your grandmother taught. And they taught us as children, not only to other ladies, but to us guys. Despite what some of you ladies may think, some of us men can cook, okay? We just hide that so that you will. We enjoy it, okay? But I will tell you, at an early age, that was one of the things that my grandmother did, was teach me how to cook. No, it wasn't just, how to make a few things, but a lot of different things. Now, I'll admit that her Jeff Davis pie, I could never match that. But, you know, my wife's come close to it. Because when we got married, I said, you need to meet my grandmother so she can teach you how to cook. Thinking ahead. And now, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I did tell her that with all compassion and love. And she was appreciative. And so was I. Okay? But there is so much that moms teach us. And seriously, you think about that. And my dad was a good man, don't get me wrong. My dad taught me the work ethic. My dad taught me how to build things, how to think through things. And he was a spiritual man. But the one who taught me about Jesus was my mother and my grandmother. And they started when I was real young. Because Mama would be there when you lay down to bed, and they had and she had the books, and Mama would read me Bible stories. I grew up knowing them. Very privileged. Not everybody has a mama that's doing that. But my faith grew. My grandmother, in turn, taught me the music. Guess what she was singing? Hymns. I grew up knowing those hymns. Victory in Jesus. Lily of the Valley. I mean, I can recite there and have fond memories. You know, my grandmother was old school. She was born in 1912. And she didn't have no dishwasher until she was up in her 90s. Her dishwasher was right there at the end of her arms. But she would sing at that kitchen window, washing dishes, singing hymns and praising God. What we just read said that mothers and grandmothers, and even outside if you're not a family, but you have the influence over young ladies, ladies, you are to teach them. Deuteronomy tells us that as parents, as adults, as believers, that we all are to teach our children. Notice what that scripture says. It says, admonish them in verse 4. Admonish them, the young women, to love their husbands and to love their children. Now one would think, why would we have to tell a mom to love her child? Even way back then. And yet we see today moms disown their children or sell them off so they have money for drugs and other things. See, God is always looking ahead and planning. In Numbers chapter 32 and 13, God has freed the children of Israel and is going to take them to the promised land. But because they weren't paying attention, they wouldn't honor him and be obedient and listen. He was mothering them, if you want to look at it in that aspect, because he was. On this long journey, they didn't know the directions. They didn't have Siri to tell them where to go. They went on a journey for 40 years. That should have taken them 11 days. They had to learn. I'll be the first one to say that there's a lot of things that as I got older, that I look back, had I listened to my mother, I probably could have got there a whole lot faster, right? Y'all are probably the same way. And we impart that to our children. God also made it abundantly clear by telling us of what was to take place here, when in Luke chapter 1, and I'll turn to it here for a moment, but in Luke chapter 1, the angel comes to Mary, and in verse 28, he tells her, I turned to the wrong one, we're not in John yet, we're in Luke, sorry about that. He says the following, he says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now we read that oftentimes, and it's a familiar verse. that the angel tells Mary she's going to have a baby, and it's going to be by the Spirit of God, and His name's going to be Jesus, and He's going to be a Savior of the world. But you see God's love and care, that attribute that He puts in all, He desires it in all of us, but He puts it especially in mothers to care for their children. We're God's children. He cares. Where do you think you got that coming from? And He tells her because it was through Eve first that sin entered in. That verse shows His redemption of women as a whole. Sin may have came in, but the redeeming love of God also come by woman. Christ came as a baby to be born as man. And He tells her that she is blessed among women. That chapter continues on being a mother, and she has found out she is going to be. And the angel also tells her that in verse 36, the angel says, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." We know that to be John the Baptist. Again, leading the way, who would foretell of Jesus Christ. And in the 39 through 45, it is then where Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. Now, by the ages, it says that she was well up in years. We know that Mary was somewhere in that day and age, by the custom, she was somewhere in her teen, probably about 14, 15, and maybe 16 at the most. And who does she go to? The older woman, who God has also blessed. Now, Scripture records that when Mary came in, she knew immediately that she was the one carrying the child and that John was going to be the forerunner. And they have this discussion that's recorded. But there's a lot of it when we take and knowing human nature. Can you imagine the other questions that Mary had? She'd already told the angel, she said, "How can this be? I know no man." So those of you back when you were younger and you first had your first child, who did you go to and start asking? You know, because I hear that from a lot of ladies, and it's their first kid, and got some that work for me, and they're now fixing to have their baby, and they go, "I just hope I'm the mother I ought to be." Who did you go to? Who did you consult with when baby got sick? Or you feared there was something wrong? I know who Dorsey talked to. And I would suspect that most of you are the same way. They started calling mama and grandmas. Because you had already been there. What to expect. How to do to take care of certain things. And I know on my side of it, my grandmother again and my mother counseled her not only by their experience, but the first thing up was put a lot of faith and a lot of prayer for you to have wisdom as a mother. God tells us that in James. If we desire wisdom, all we have to do is ask, for He is very liberal in His giving to each and every one of us. So we see that God's nurturing and caring is always there. The children of Israel, who prepared their food? Manna was there every day. Who prepared their water? Every day. He made their way and gave them the opportunity to realize that He was the caregiver. And that same God does that for you and I today. And He utilizes in our families, as He is interested in us having families and all, gives the guidance to young mothers and fathers in how they should be and what they should teach their children. In John chapter 1, in verses 19 through 23, is where they come and they begin to ask John the Baptist who he is. In 19 it says, "Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you a prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to them, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. You know, I thought about that verse. And I thought about my mother and my grandmother. They're the ones that God placed in my life to make straight the way I should go. Now, I realize not everybody had that privilege to have a godly mother and grandmother. But there is someone in your life that impacted and talked to you about the gospel and talked to you about the way things should be. You begin to gain that. And you see, that's what we are to impart to our children and to those who we have influence over, and be able to teach them the same way. How important it is. Mom is not just there to cook, wash dishes, or any of those other things. But they're there to teach. God had a reason and a purpose. He says that the man and the woman shall come together, and the two shall be as one. That reunification of himself for which we are made. A husband and a wife. And those attributes he gave dads and those attributes he gave mom begin to mesh and come as one. To raise up the children, as Deuteronomy 6:4 tells us, teaching them the statutes of our Lord. He himself realized that the two becoming one was the same as he himself, the Son, and the Spirit. No, that's always hard for us to contemplate, that the three are as one, but yet the three are separate with independent duties that are carried out. The Father oversees it all. The Son came to redeem you and I, to be the sacrifice. The Spirit, our teacher, our guide. That unifying Spirit that unifies all of us when we come together. One of the things I know that was noted, and I take nothing away from Mike or Marcus, but in all reality, and I made that comment yesterday, and I think I did at her funeral, the glue that stuck that family together and will cause it to keep together was Mary Jane, Mama. See, mamas can be tender and teaching. But when the need arises, mamas can be straightforward. In Mary Jane's case, the sergeant major came out. And as Mike and kids and grandkids all said, everybody come to attention. You know, I could weaver a little bit with mama, but I also knew when I got that look, the line had been touched. And the line could be pushed no further. There was a stance where mama was not kind and gentle. I found the grizzly bear in her. And my butt reminded me to shut my mouth. Okay? We honor our mothers. They are human. They make mistakes. But our God is gracious to each and every one of us. If your mom's living, take the time to call her today and thank her. If you have nothing else to thank your mother for, without her, you would not be here today. The blessings of having a godly mom, godly grandmothers, and great-grandmothers. Some have been very privileged. Some, God saw a reason for it not, that you may have never known your grandmother or your great-grandmother. But I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of words of wisdom that came from them. a lot they could teach you and I. And still today, at 68 years old, there are times that come up, you know, Lord, I sure wished I could call Mama or Grandma and ask her a question. God always gives me that answer and that comfort of being able to know I can find it in His Scripture or wait for Him to give me that inspiration through His Holy Spirit. We honor, we thank, and we love our mamas, but we thank God for placing them in our lives. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm done. Most gracious